Here begins the second half of my Pencast conversation with José Luis Pérez Díaz, professor of mechanical engineering at the University of Alcalá, during which we discuss his fascinating work with Melchior, Mesmerize, and other EU-funded Horizon projects.
So the work that you did on infrasound in Mesmerize, is it safe to say that fed into and helped to create, helped to launch Melchior?
Right. In fact, there was a patent that was applied by, it's shared by the University of Alcalá and San Jorge Tecnológicas. Oh. And this patent is the basis for this new development and the increase of maturity that we are trying to achieve.
This is a classic case of a public-private partnership where patents are created and that drives new innovations
absolutely. Yeah. And you know, this is an innovation action, so it's partially funded by the companies that are participating, so there is a real interest in developing the technology. That's not just a public funding, but also a private part of the funding.
Could you say a word about the funding structure? I'm not actually familiar with that.
Yeah, in an innovation action, as it's this one, it's for public institutions or institutions that are non-for-profit, the funding is 100%. But for SMEs or for companies, as it's the case of San Jorge Tecnológicas, that is the co-owner of this original patent, or it's a case of MICAM, the manufacturer of blast-proof cabins. The funding, or for instance, Microphone, the manufacturer of the sensors, of the infrasound sensors, the funding for them is only 70%. So the remaining 30% has to be funded by them.
So strong incentive to be deeply engaged in the project and to see it through to ultimately positive outcomes.
Absolutely, absolutely. Let's say that the goal is to have something that really works and that really can be applied to the to the border security checks and to different applications and to bring it to the market, because that's a real objective of the project.
I see. The consortium, you've described a bit about the consortium that's working on Melchior. It consists of 15 partners from 9 nationalities and active in various fields of engineering and beyond. How did you and your colleagues come up with the idea for Melchior?
Well, in fact, it came from in Mesmerize. Let's say that the idea in Mesmerize originally, it came because we in University of Alcalá, we have been working with infrasound, with echolocation, and with different properties of sound. I used to work in acoustics, and in fact, I was the professor of acoustics, vibration and acoustics in a former university. And my background in acoustics made it possible. Let's say that. Wondering how to solve or how to improve the privacy, and also experiencing every time I took a flight, I used to say, "Oh, this is really, we are all treated as if we were criminals," because essentially it's something denigrant that you are passing everybody passing this kind of pattern. So essentially thinking about it, I thought, oh. This could be a good idea to do it, not just touching people, but contactless. So that was the way it was generated. The idea.
I see. This is a fascinating kind of test bed for the creation of new projects as well as new ideas. And I hadn't thought of it, but of course, all members of your team, when they travel, become, let's say, guinea pigs or experimenters of the existing technologies and may get inspirations for how to improve it.
Somehow. you know, when you have, you have an active mind, you are observing everything every time. So, yes, it's a professional deformation.
confidentiality, secrecy must be an important consideration for your work. So not to let out to the world what, you know, what levels of detectability are will be picked up by your equipment. Is that correct?
Absolutely. We have to work with an absolutely, it's mandatory to have the secrecy, and we have the security advisory board, and they scrutinize everything before releasing. And the main objective is to develop the technology, and that as a part of it is to keep confidential all the kind of information that could make it weaker, or any kind of weak point obviously has to be protected, as in any other technology or any other case. Let's say that.
I see.
That's mandatory.
Mm-hmm. So customs administrations form one of the several potential end users for the work that you're doing at Melchior. Mm-hmm. Where do you see the biggest benefits for customs customs employees, customs administrations?
Well, I think that the main benefit for the officers would be probably not in the case of customs, but in the case of security checks, where you would be avoiding to touch somebody that eventually may be wearing an explosive belt. I think that is the main. But if we go to a more relaxed scenario, that maybe orders in normal times or something like that, the main advantage is the convenience for both the passenger and the officer. Let's say you are avoiding this inconvenient and said something that is a bit denigrant, that pat down. And I think that also it's like you are adding a new tool that is not, it doesn't disrupt the flow of people, and that may increase that flow with a relatively high rate of reliability. So let's say that if you are avoiding touching people and spending, let's say, 1 minute for patting down a person, and you may have the same result in 20 seconds with this device, eventually you are making everything smoother and simpler.
Understood. So it's speed and safety for the customs workers, obviously, but also a sort of a personal respect, an increased level of sort of, no invasion of privacy.
Yeah.
Do you foresee other potential end users for your technology being developed at Melchior?
Yes. In fact, we are going to test it also in prisons, because it's a critical point. Also, we are going to test it in an arena. So when you have crowded sites with football stadiums or arenas or this kind of or concerts, or and you need to prevent people to carry, let's say, guns or explosives. I think that would be a very convenient way, because you are not using. You don't use any harmful element. You can make it quite fast and prevent a very serious risk. So I think those would be quite interesting applications.
Fascinating. Now, as a researcher, this is a more general question. What are the biggest challenges that you encounter when you're working with a very broad-based consortium of different partners? What are the biggest challenges you encounter to the free communication between academia on the one hand and industry on the other, and potentially government officials, say customs officials on the other? Are there different mentalities that come into play, different goals that make your collaboration more complex?
Well, yeah, it's something that you have to deal with, and you know that that's part of my job. I mean, the different ways that they even express their needs, because even the way of speaking is quite different, and you have to be aware of what are their interests, what are their background, what is what they assume, because sometimes it's the most difficult part is to understand what they assume as given, and not necessarily given for the other partner. So that is the, let's say, the hardest part. You have to be aware not only what is said and what is expressed, but also what is not expressed, but is implicit in their way of work or their way of thinking or just the different subjects, because the disciplines they have their own language for and their own let's say assumed facts that are not necessarily the same for the other.
So without naming names, can you give an example of a case in which you had very different implicit assumptions that weren't that were a challenge to get past in order to communicate clearly?
Well, probably I will give you an example of a different project in which we in Counterfolk we had an example, because we in Counterfolk it was an FP7, and in fact part of this technology will be used for sampling aerosols in Melchior. It's a device that will be added as a complementary technology just in case of a pandemics or just if you want to smell, let's say, what's in the air. But in that project, we developed a technology that essentially is for decontaminating the air and facilities. And it arose when we presented it to the end users, there was one of the policemen there, he pointed out that if you destroy the proofs, it may be a problem. So you save lives, but don't destroy the proofs, because right. You need to get the criminals and put them in jail. And obviously the main objective is to save lives, because if you save lives, well, a murder will be just a try of murder and not a murder, and that's good. But you have to keep in mind that, well, yeah, the forensic evidence is important, and the whole scenario.
That's fascinating.
As an example of how you can be obsessed with a way of you think it's the right way and the right path and what you have to be after, but at a certain time there must be somebody that says okay, but there is also this aspect that you forgot and that is important, and that's the richness of the cooperation in these multidisciplinary teams.
Yeah, that's part of what broad-based consortium brings to you, is a bunch of different perspectives, is a bunch of different backgrounds, so that you can capture those different viewpoints and not get tunnel vision. To come back to a point you made earlier, it's not just technology, it's also the people who use them. What do you see to be the training needs, let's say, to prepare customs officers for more effective use of the technology that you're putting into their hands?
Yeah, that's key. That's key. When we started this, when we started the Mesmeric project, one of the main things that we had in mind is that the system should be, let's say, independent of the user, independent of the officer. Currently, you know that it depends on the training, it depends on the sensitivity, it depends on the skills of the officer. And that's the case for many technologies. Not just you can imagine that it's not just just to have a green or a red light most of the technologies, but how do you apply it? But it's the same as any kind of artist does with their hands or eyes or senses. So in this way, training is essential, but also the conditions of work, because a person that has been working for the whole day, obviously it's not so sensitive as when he started working. That's you become tired, you become exhausted at a certain time, and your senses don't work in the same way. So that's why all the artificial intelligence work, let's say techniques, they have to help us to solve this. Let's say that the machine doesn't get tired. Mm-hmm. And the point is that it's a tool that we have to use to help the user. The human must be always at the end of the process because the decision must be a human decision. But the machine should be there to help to avoid these variations or this dependency on human factors.
You brought me to the last question, which is AI. I noticed that Melchior does mention an AI, potential AI component, and a lot of people in the popular media talk about AI is just going to replace people, it's just going to be a better way of thinking and so on. What is your view as a scientist and as a researcher and a member of the Melchior group? What is your view of the effectiveness of AI and the future role that it's going to play in customs innovation?
Yeah, well, this is AI. It happens as in any other case of science. Science must follow ethics. I mean, not everything you can do in science is ethically admissible. The biology is probably one of the fields where you can find this more evidently. You know that there are countries in the far west, and they used to be developing countries, and now they are a powerful country. Yeah, and they made experiments like creating chimeras of mouse and humans. This is like creating the perfect soldier hybrid between mouse and humans. That's not admissible. That cannot be admissible. Ethically, it's something, it's monstrous. It's something, this kind of research is being published. And that's not for talking about, let's say, experimenting with human embryos or human beings, or it's this kind of thing is monstrous. In the same way, the artificial intelligence, it depends on how you use it. You can use it for goodness or for evil. So if you use it for evil and you use it to control people and to know about you more than yourself, I think it's a bad path that we are following. If we use it as a tool to identify things quicker and identify, let's say, to analyze a complex amount of data, as in the case of Melchior, that we are trying to analyze a complex, huge amount of data to detect something that is concealed, I think that is limited, and we have a control of the technology and cannot be bribed or cannot be, contaminated by spurious data because we keep it under control. And eventually it's a human operator that will have the power to decide and to double check. Because it's not, we are not going to take any action from the device itself. It will be the authorities that will proceed with their procedures or whatever they have to do. But it's not a trivial question, this of the artificial intelligence, because we have to be aware, we have to be to survey and to be vigilant to any potential misuse of the artificial intelligence, for sure.
Well, your point of that technology needs to be guided by human beings and guided by human ethics is an important one. I'm always concerned when I hear that the study of humanities, which could be philosophy, ethics, and history, and so on, is going down. And technology, various fields of technology, and now, of course, AI is the latest, greatest word, are going up, up, up. But if you don't have someone who understands humanity in the broader sense, it sounds like the University of Alcalá is a very good example of bringing those two things together, no?
Yeah, if you forget humanities, you will become non-human. So that is a real problem. I mean, in University of Alcalá was the first place where the multilingual Bible was edited.
Wow.
You know? And also the grammar of Spanish. That was the first grammar of the languages in the world. In fact, also the grammars from the languages from the Mexican and the Nahuatl. In fact, they were published before, 100 years before any grammar of French or English. There were this, and that is because humanity, the humanity is quite important. For me, it's a mistake to forget, let's say, to study history, Latin or Greek and the classic languages, and the classic test. And for me, it's a mistake that any educated person it's deprived from this heritage. And it's quite important to educate in all these classic matters. Otherwise, you will forget history. You will make the same mistakes or even worse than our ancestors. And you will eventually forget that you are a human being and that that is key for humanity. Technology by itself is only a tool, and you may have a tool. Well, let's say you may have a stone axe, or you may have an arrow, and that's a tool. You may use it to hunt your food, or you may use it to make war, and there is a difference between them. And if you don't cultivate your humanities and these disciplines, well, you will have monsters.
Very deeply reassuring to hear a research scientist at the cutting edge of customs innovation and other innovation speaking about humanities and the importance of ethics. And your phrase, if you forget humanities, you will become non-human, I think is a very powerful one that we all need to keep in mind.
Yeah, absolutely.
Professor Pérez Díaz, thank you very, very much for a fascinating conversation.
Welcome. It's my pleasure, and it has been a very nice time with you.
Thank you. I will take you up on that for sure. And I'm sure that our listeners will follow your work in Melchior with great interest as an important front on the move towards keeping customs at the cutting edge of technological innovation. So good work for you and your team.
Thank you very much.
You've been listening to Pushing the Envelope, Life at the Cutting Edge of Customs Innovation, a podcast that profiles leaders in customs and their views, ideas, and inspirations about the future of customs innovation. Join us for our next Pencast for another insightful conversation with customs trendsetters and forward thinkers. Thank you.